What's up, guys? It's Jesse from Plant the Spirit along with Michael and the man that needs no introduction, Ira Schofel from warchant.com. Always bringing you guys some great coverage. We are here at ACC Football Kickoff 2026 in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we wanted to catch up with Ira and get some thoughts after Florida State had their turn at the podium today. You know, we saw Mike Norvell, Ashton Daniels, Jabril Rawls, and of course, Deuce Robinson. And, you know, a lot was said, but to Michael's point, and one of the things that he wrote an article for the site and kind of asked the question is, you know, Ira, words fall short when you don't back it up on the field. So how much do you really put into what you hear in Charlotte versus what transpires on Saturdays?
Yeah, I think this is a tough year for Florida State to talk. It's a tough year to cover Florida State.
Yeah.
Because what's happened the last 2 years, you know, you go back to coming off the 2023 season, all the talk was like making people pay for the snub. And,
right.
You know, we came here 2 years ago and Patrick Payton and Josh Farmer talked about how they were going to show people they should have been in the playoff. And then they go 2-10. And then last year, you know, the talk was kind of like, okay, that was a disaster. Obviously, we're going to get Florida State back on track. And they start off, they beat Alabama and you got all the talk with Tommy and things were exciting. And then they just basically fall apart again. So where do you go from there? And I thought, you know, I thought the players and Mike Norvell did all they could do. You know, I thought they were smart to not talk too big.
Right.
And to not blame anybody else, to not say they have a chip on their shoulder, but basically just say, you know, we have to be better.
Right.
Deuce Robinson talked a lot about how they've got to clean up their self-inflicted wounds. They've got to play better. You know, I think Jabril Rawls talked about how, you know, defensively, they feel like going into year two under Tony White, they'll have a better feeling of what this defense can be. So there are some things that they can point to, but in general, yeah, they couldn't make any big grandiose statements because they would just fall on deaf ears.
Right. I thought, I mean, I'd love to get your impression of this. I thought, you know, Mike Norvell, normally when he gets to the dais, the podium, you know, Jesse's point, you know, Baptist preacher staff.
Definitely goes into preacher.
Yeah, preacher staff. But I felt like today in the questionings, he felt very contained, very kind of within himself. I think he kind of understood, like, this is not the time for that.
Yeah, and I'm glad he did, because it would have been kind of crazy,
right,
you know.
Right,
I mean, to act like you're so confident, so, you know, when the last time a lot of people watched Florida State football, they're losing at Stanford, they're giving up 1,000 rushing yards to Florida. You know, I mean, it's just this team can't really talk too much. We have to do our job. We have to interview them. They have to answer the questions that we make.
Right.
But yeah, they're I think they're doing the best they can with the situation. Having said that, though. You know, I thought Deuce said, you know, he talked up some individual players.
Yes.
He thinks they're going to be better than people think. I think Ashton, you know, is confident in this offense. So there is, it's not as if they're being totally meek. I do think they have some confidence, but, you know, just it's got to be the way they convey it.
Right.
Yeah, I really like a lot of the things that Deuce said along the lines of, look, we know we screwed up a lot in 1-4 games last year. We were in those games. We made mistakes. And we just can't do those things. And even not to excuse last year, but I think they were in 4 or 5 one-score games. They were winless in those games. So they outgained teams in 3 of those losses. And so it's like the margin was pretty thin between 5 and 8 or 9 wins. But the question becomes, like, how do you turn those moments into wins? Because no one cares about almost.
All right.
You know, and one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, it's a tough year to try and rebound with the schedule that they have. Because, man, I look at this team and we're going through our position previews now and, like, I mean, Trey Wisner and Chroma are truly talents.
Right.
Deuce is a known talent. I think Makai Danz is going to take a big step this year. They have a lot of talent on this team. Yes, there's also some big question marks that come with that, but the schedule, for all intents and purposes, what people have said, is the hardest in the ACC. You get 7 out of the top 8 teams by win odds. Then you get the luxury of going to Alabama and playing Florida
3
out
Friday
of conference.
Night games.
Yeah. It's, so my question to you is, the team, to me, could actually be better this year, but will the difficulty of the schedule kind of overshadow what this team may be to where it just doesn't reflect in the win column?
I mean, it's possible. And that's why, you know, you look back at last year and why it was such a missed opportunity and so disappointing, because that schedule was set up pretty well for them to have a good year. You know, you got Pitt at home. You're going to Stanford. I mean, like, you know, it's not as – that was not a good NC State team. So it's not like the Virginia team ended up having a good season, but I don't think that was a great Virginia team. And you went and just got down 14-0 in a blink of an eye because you weren't prepared for that game. So much of that season was so disappointing because it could have been a much better season and there wouldn't be all this pressure on this season, which does have a tough schedule. But, I do think it's there are some benefits to it, though. I think when you look at the SMU game, and we all know that that's a huge game, you do get a tune-up game for that. You know, you do get a game against New Mexico State to kind of prepare. They don't have that advantage. SMU also will be coming to Tallahassee. So that's the advantage for Florida State. So if you can win that game, you know, at least gives you some solid footing and some confidence going into that stretch where you've got Alabama and Miami. Now that's a huge hurdle, and they're going to be big underdogs in both of those games. Yeah. But the key to the season to me is not letting whatever happens there derail the entire season, because there's a bunch of winnable games after that,
right?
And some coin toss games. But if you go in the tank because you lost to Alabama and Miami, well, now you're just going to be where you were the last 2 years.
Right. Yeah. Well, my last question to you is, you know, I think many of us in the media, I know myself, I know Jesse, we are excited that in some ways that Mike Norvell is taking back the play calls. Like, he didn't forget how to, you know, call a game or be a good coach. You know, obviously 2024, take that season and set it to the side. What do you think he has recovered that mindset to where he has that killer mentality that he could get back to being that very decisive cut play caller that can set this offense? Because I think he has some really good pieces, and if he leverages the offense in the right way, I think he can have a relatively high scoring offense. But is the mindset back to that?
And to tie back to Jesse's question also, like, the thing is, yes, I like the skill on offense, and I think there's pieces there, and I do like Mike Norvell as a play caller. But the big question, I think, is still the offensive line.
Right.
And you know, somewhat of Ashton Daniels, a quarterback too, but the offensive line, and that's a huge question. You know, if Herb Ann can't really do what he did last year at least, you know, then all that skill doesn't really matter.
Right. That's right.
And then, you know, and defensively, I think there's some questions about depth. So those questions are big questions. But to your point about Norvell, I think it gives him a chance to be what he has been in the past.
Yeah.
Whether or not he can get that back or not, we'll have to see. But I think it gives him a chance. You know, I think looking back at last year, I think we all understood what they were talking about doing, having him be a CEO and like Gus Malzahn run the offense. And you could understand why that might make sense and why they did it. But I think certain kind of coaches are built for that and certain kind of coaches are not.
Yep.
And
yep.
I just didn't feel like Mike Norvell knew what to do.
Yeah, you can tell.
You watch him on the sideline.
Yeah.
And so now he feels lost. He felt like he didn't know what he was supposed to be doing.
Right.
And I think as a CEO coach, you need to be like coaching the coaches. But then that was a weird situation because Gus Malzahn was kind of his mentor.
Right.
And so it was a weird situation. It was a bad fit from that standpoint. I was not disappointed that Gus Malzahn decided to retire because this gives Mike Norvell a chance.
Right.
You know, and whether or not he can claim it,
right,
we'll have to see. But I do think it gives him a chance.
Yeah, if you're going to go out doing the thing your way.
Yeah, it felt like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Talladega Nights, but Ricky Bobby, like, what do I do with my hands? Like, Mike Norvell's like, what do I do now? And because he's out of his element. And to your point, I think there were some things they disagreed on, some things they didn't like. And I think Mike's happy to step back into that role and control those things. I think it's good for him because, you know, a lot of us agree he's probably a more expansive play caller. And so it does. I know the bad thing is, you know, life is a what have you done for me lately. So people do remember 2024 as the last Mike Norvell offense. But he's been a good play caller throughout his history. But he's going to have to put it on his back and wear this year. And I think that's fair to him. But my last question for you is, you know, I think last year, obviously 2-10 set off some alarms, clearly. I think last year, the first month of the season to the administration was kind of like, dodge the bullet. I don't think we're going to have to deal with this now. To when the rails kind of, the train came off the tracks, it kind of went into scramble mode. We're not in a position to do this. And I don't want to put you on the spot on this and ask for you to make a decision for the administration. But do you think that they truly understand that, like, this season, we just can't let this continue on, right? In order for us to be, you know, Michael Alford said, like, we want to spend like the Power 2 programs. We want to be in a position for realignment if that comes back around. Do you think that they finally understand now that, like, look, if this isn't good enough, we might actually have to make a decision as?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they knew they might have to make a decision last year. But I just think the way it played out, they didn't feel comfortable with the options they had. Right. You know, and again, I think if some of the jobs that came open hadn't come open and they felt like stronger about who they could get, then maybe they go ahead and pull the trigger. They didn't. And I think when you combine the fact that you have the debt that they've taken on with the facilities, which is real money, it's $450 million that they're going to have to pay off.
Right.
It's not operating debt, but it is debt that they're going to have to pay off. And then you add into that taking on Mike Norvell's buyout, which would have been over $60 million. And you look at whatever they're going to have to pay in an exit fee if they want to leave the conference. And then to go get a coach that you don't know if you feel great about.
Right.
I understand why they maybe wanted to tap the brakes. Having said that, though, I don't know if they played out the whole scenario of where things would go if you don't do anything.
Right.
And that's in recruiting. It's in fan support. It's in ticket sales. Yeah. It's in all of that. So to my point, when fans will say to us, you know, well, FSU's not going to do anything this year either, even if he goes 7-5 or 6-6. I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
Because I do think they, now that they've seen it play out, it's inconceivable to think that another mediocre to bad year could be just, we're just going to go roll it back one more year because we don't want to pay the buyout.
Yeah.
So I'm with you guys. And I think the signs that they're trying to do everything they can to help him out. The hirings of John Garrett and Taylor Edwards and that front office staff, his decision to bring in, an assistant to the head coach.
Yeah.
They're doing everything they can to help him be successful because they do not want to have to make a change.
Right.
But I can't see a scenario where if it's another bad season that they just say, we're going to try again next year. I have a hard time believing.
Yeah, and to your point, Michael offered Mason kind of direct comments. I believe it is at spring meetings where he's like, listen, we've given him everything. We are a championship program, and that is the standard. But to your point, I think you can't make knee-jerk reactions to things. Not that it's a knee-jerk reaction, but one thing you can't have happen is be under two buyouts.
Right.
So the next hire, you have to get it right to at least stabilize the ship until maybe you get out from under Mike Norvell's buyout. But I mean, there's no question that the best thing for Florida State University is not to pay $50 million for a coach, not the coach.
For sure. And to your point, though, exactly. I had a conversation with somebody during the process who said, this wouldn't cripple us to have to make this change. But if you get it wrong again, that is the kind of thing that really can set you back years and years.
Well, you're looking at like LSU. They're paying Brian, Barron Kelly's buyout. They're paying Ed Orgeron's buyout. They're now being investigated by their own university for the crazy expenditures that they're making right now. Florida State doesn't want to find themselves in that same situation with all the things that you've previously mentioned as well, too.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I'm kind of ending thought on that is, when you say you want to be among the elites, Penn State found the money, LSU found the money. So to me, Michael said this is a referendum year on Mike Norvell. I agree. You hope it works out so you don't have to spend that, but, it's the further the success gets in the rearview mirror, I feel like the harder it is to kind of keep that brand value.
Well, and the last thing I wanted to say on that, I meant to say this earlier, is when it comes to the money, whatever happens, like if they have to make a change, they have to find a coach. If they do have to make a change, that the money will support.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the biggest mistake a school might make is if you hire a coach that people aren't really behind and you don't have the money.
Yeah.
We all can have our feelings about the University of Miami.
Yeah.
But what made that situation work was when they got Mario in, they knew people said, we're going to write checks.
Right.
And we're going to go get you players. And that's what they've been able to do. Whoever it is, whether it's Mike Norvell staying and rebuilding his reputation or if it's going and get somebody else, it has to be the person that can galvanize the people that write the big checks.
Right.
Because, man, this is it's a money game.
Yeah. And that's the thing. People, like to pitter patter about the NIL at Florida State. And I'm like, look, success will bring the money. It'll bring it back. The Battle's End even said after 2023, they had record donations because the fans had belief and they were mad.
Right.
But, again, I think to your point, one of the things that I'm almost more interested in than if there were to be a new coach, again, we want Mike Norvell to succeed because I don't want Florida State to have to pay that money, is the concessions that come with it.
Yes.
Lane Kiffin didn't go there just because he felt like it. They guaranteed him like a $40 million roster. So that, to me, is an interesting angle to it as well. But that's going to be it here from ACC Media Days with Ira. Again, we are the guys from Plant the Spear. Make sure you like and subscribe and check us out. And then, of course, you guys know where you can find Ira. The man, the myth, the legend, over at warchant.com. So make sure you lock in with those guys as well. We'll be here all week, but Ira, we sure appreciate your time, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
And take care, man.
All right, good luck.
All right, go Noles.